before I must indicate Deputy Minister that I'm a little bit disturbed before I allow members to introduce themselves. We can't, you know, I'm feeling that I'm old. I can't be every time fighting and fighting and fighting the department. The issue of members getting their documents late really is unacceptable. The documents that you are going to present, members only got them yesterday, but I'll have to cross-check actually what happened. We can't be saying that we are serious with our work if we just been given enough few hours before we interact with the document. I don't know whether the problem that is lying with the department or maybe from the level of our administrative support, but it's something that really I'll have to make follow-ups on that. But as I'm saying, that really is disturbing, and personally, where I'm seated, really I can't operate in that way. If you are serious with our work, we'll need to get information in advance so that we interact, we do further work, so that when we interact with the department, we are prepared. And if maybe the problem is from the side of the department, you know, other things are just simple because the department knows that the very same information, like we're dealing with the budget vote, the very same information that they're presenting before the petroleum committee, they can submit it to us immediately when they're done with the portfolio committee. So, Deputy Minister, I'm not going to open this for a debate because I'm saying I'm still going to check actually where does this problem come, whether it is from the department side or it's from our committee, you know, like secretary. I said, because really I can't just sit here and pretend as if things are normal, you know. I can't really, but I'll give the minister, the deputy minister, and yourself a report, because really I'll have to go deeper into this. But we have to take our work very seriously. This is a plea. I'm pleading with everybody that, deputy minister, on that note, I know that you are my leader, but I'm not going to allow you to respond to this. I'm just going to request from the side of the members to introduce themselves. We know each other, but just for the purpose of if we have changed the same names and all that, we might be married yesterday, you know, to allow members to introduce themselves, and after that, request the department also to do so. Thank you.
Good morning, members and department. My name is Sipho Plaki. I'm a member of this committee and I'm representing Northwest in the NCOP.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Michael De Villiers. I'm also a member of this committee and I'm representing the Western Cape.
Good morning. My name is Willem Faber and I'm also a member of this committee and I'm representing the Northern Cape province.
My name is Pinky Mwave. I'm representing Gauteng in this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, members of the department. I'm Kanif Mashamaite, representing Limpopo, and I'm a member of this committee. Thank you.
My name is Ono Rojo from Nalanga. Thank you. de la République à Olebovin. Right there to my extreme left, which I don't think is his ideological position, is the CFO of the Department of Sport and Recreation, Mr. Makoto. Next to him is our Director General, Mr. Bernie Peterson. And next to me here, to my right, is Dr. Ruth Mojalefu. She is the Director, Strategic and Executive Support in the Department. Mina, I'm Gert Oosthuizen, Deputy Minister of Sport and Recreation, representing the majority party.
Thank you, members. Before I give over to the department, I'll just have to check whether there are apologies. Is there any apology? Hasmene got one apology from Honorable Hasmene, and I must also. Mayor Maranto, and we've got an apology from the Minister, Rafat Stofine. I think Deputy Minister will just elaborate on that.
Thank you, Comrade Chair. Minister Stofile phoned me yesterday. He has a family member that has been ill for some time in the Eastern Cape, and the report we received from the Eastern Cape was that it was extremely bad, and as I speak, I'm not too sure what the position is this morning. The minister rushed down there yesterday to hopefully be in time to be next to his family members. So in light of that, he asked me to really sincerely apologize for him not appearing in front of the committee this morning. But Chair, it's also true that the Minister Stofile, being a Premier, values the NCOP very much, because he many occasions participated in the NCOP, and he asked me to really apologize sincerely due to the circumstances which is beyond our control. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Thank you. The apologies accepted. Deputy Minister and the DG, before I give, you know, I think this is something, but I feel that I'm just going, you know, just to, I don't know, just to take this pressure on my shoulders from the members of the Select Committee, maybe to raise issues. DG, you know, I'm just going to allow them to raise their concern around the issue of the invitations, you know, how, you know, I think they requested me. I just want to give them before we go to the briefing, because they feel that they are part of being detailed, but it's like they don't feel, you know, being seriously taken as members of the Select Committee on Education and Education. Members, I'm requesting, you know, make your point, and I know Honorable Nube.
No, thanks on our chairperson. We will speak on your behalf if you don't have a complaint.
I have.
Oh. Honorable chairperson, we have observed series of events in relation to us not being treated at the Select Committee of Sports and Recreation. We have observed that you are not treated equally with the Portfolio Committee on NA. I think the constitution is clear that there are two houses that make parliament. But our observation is that when you talk of parliament with the sports ministry or department, you only talk of NA portfolio. For instance,
during the signing, the draw on the 4th of December, our chairperson has to run around from pillar to post begging for the ticket. And she was, the response was, no, we've given the portfolio committee the tickets. The only chairperson that is known is Honorable Kombela. Our chairperson is not recognized and our committee is not recognized. After her insistence, we were then roped in at the very last time. We raised our objections and we raised our dissatisfaction, and we hoped that from that time on the 4th of December, things were going to be okay. During the celebration of the 100 days left, also the committee that was prioritized was only the portfolio from the NA, moving from all those host cities. With ourselves, we got the correspondence that we will go there at our own cost. At our own cost, we'll use our tickets or whatever. But with the NA, they were there, moving from A to B, cost paid by the department. We were also, that's the understanding, but one of us here had to negotiate for himself when the entourage was in Cape Town, and he went to Durban with the cost of LOC. Let me say LOC, not department. The other observation is that we were promised, it's not an observation, it's a fact, we were promised the T-shirt at that time before the end of December. I'm sure it was October. We're then told that the T-shirts are somewhere at room whatever, and the person that has key is in Pretoria. And the other reason was that, no, the minister said those, because there's only one emblem, they must not be given to us, we'll be given the one that will have two emblems, the Safa and Protea. So we had that those T-shirts with one emblem was locked in one room. Well, I had the room, I forgot it. Then, up to now, this little committee has never been given T-shirts. The other one is on the, there was also an entourage that was looking at the readiness of stadiums. Also, our little committee was not dropped in terms of certifying or looking into the readiness of host cities of the stadiums. Lastly, we are raising it. It's the 3rd of May. We hear also from the NA that guaranteed tickets with us, it should be the same thing that is always happening. We also, maybe just not talking about tickets and whatever, even if you have some symposium and whatever, we also want to be involved so that it's not only the NA, because if in the spirit of the constitution that Parliament is made up of two houses, and there's no house that is more important than the other. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think Pinky, Honourable Pinky, did speak about a lot of it. You see, Madam Chair, the problem that I've got, we represent our provinces. The FIFA World Cup, maybe now in Kimberley, we're not our city, but luckily we've got a Uruguay coming to visit us. But you know what, we're representing provinces where Honourable Pinky is in the Gauteng area. Obviously, when FIFA and the LOC and the Department of Sports with the Ministry goes to these venues, in Gauteng, for instance, Honorable Pinky must be included. She's from that province. We represent our provinces as sport committee. And to me, I don't understand why we are not included in that, specifically why we are here representing our provinces. The Soccer World Cup is not going to be played in a national place in Parliament, it's going to be in the provinces where we come from. We are here to represent our provinces. Now, the worst part is on provincial level, our provincial MECs, they know what's going on sports. I mean, my provincial MEC knows exactly what's going on. The normal committee of Mr. Capella, they know what's going on, but we as the NCOP are sitting in the dark as if we're just there to rubber stamp quick, because when there's a debate on some budget something, we must just let it go through. When there's an act that has to go through, it's quick, it comes to the NCOP, NCOP checks it out, and we give the okay, and the act goes through. And I feel that we must be part of this whole process. As Honourable Pinky also stated, Parliament consists out of two houses. And there's definitely not one of these houses that are more valuable than the other one. We both deserve to know what's going on ground level. And I feel that we've not been incorporated with specifically this department. With the other departments of education and these, they actually did make us part of it, but with the department of sport, for some or other reason, we've been sidelined. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. I just want to put one or two questions to the department on this matter. If we were employees, Honorable Deputy Minister, we were going to protest, picket in front of your office. But unfortunately, we are politicians, we are not employees. And we can't be seen protesting in front of the office of the Minister of the Deputy Minister. But one question. Why do you want to brief us as a select committee about your budget? Why? I would appreciate if this question can be answered. What will happen if we can say, because you don't treat us as a select committee, you don't treat us as leaders, what will happen if we can say, no, we don't discuss your budget today, go back? What will happen? Will the budget go on with the blessing of the NA alone? I would appreciate if this question also can be answered. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Maite. DG, the reason why I allowed members to raise this thing is because personally, as the chairperson, I feel that, you know, sometimes if you have to respond to the issues as an individual, it becomes very difficult. Maybe to indicate that we are colleagues with the NA, you know, colleagues talk to each other, you know, what they get, you know, communicate to other members as colleagues, and it becomes very difficult to me as a chairperson that one would come and say, but why? It's like sometimes as a chairperson you are failing, you are not even doing your work because there are other things to be doing, you know, this work. That is why I just felt that, you know, just for a few minutes we just should just discuss this thing because it has been a really a burning issue, you know, since from last year up to this day.
Honourable Chairperson, thank you so much, Honourable Members. Perhaps, Chairperson, you will bear with me for a minute or two. Let me start with the first observation, the documentation. Now, Honourable Chair, the Department of Sport and Recreation, like any other department, we have developed a strategic plan. That plan gets amended after the State of the Nation Address, which is a combined session of all the Houses of Parliament. We have a deadline as a department to table the strategic report with the presiding officers of Parliament. In the case we don't do that, we are in serious trouble. We have a deadline. It gives us a DG, assist me, 10 days after the SONA. Is it 8 or 10 days after the State of the Nation Address? We have to deliver it with enough copies for every Member of Parliament plus additional. In our case this year, Chairperson, I must share with the committee that we did deliver 6 o'clock the day of the deadline because we were running around through the night with a service provider to ensure that we have enough of these copies printed, shipped to Cape Town, delivered to Parliament on time. In other words, the Department of Sport and Recreation, I want to put this abundantly clear, because we had this very same problem at the National Assembly of saying, no, but the Department is not doing their bit. They did not distribute this. Now, why honorable members did not get in their pigeonholes all members of Parliament, not only those of the Select or the Portfolio Committee, all members of Parliament, did not get our strategic plan, is a matter that I, as a Deputy Minister for the Department, cannot take up. What I will do, I will complain to the Leader of Government Business, which is the Deputy President, to say, both committees where sports involved, this has been a complaint. But here's our letter we've delivered the very same day. That was 8 or 10 days after the State of the Nation Address. We do that, Honourable Chairperson and members, precisely because we would not like our members to be in a position where they have not had sight of the documentation. I put that on record. And if the Chairperson of the Committee so wishes, once the DG starts rolling on the strategic plan, while we are here today, I will sneak out and get the document faxed to my office from Pretoria with a chap of acceptance, strategic plan by the presiding officers. I will then table it in the committee so that the honourable members understand that we've done what we had to do. It is not on us to now run around and distribute it. It's a parliamentary function. Chair, as far as this PowerPoint presentation is concerned, if I'm told that it was delivered yesterday, I will agree to that. Why? Because I received a call from our parliamentary liaison officer, Lyndon Kopani, who said, Deputy Minister, you are in front of the Select Committee tomorrow. Would you have a need to have the PowerPoint for ease of reference made available to the honourable members instead of them running through the strategic plan? Our thinking at the time being, the strategic plan has been with the honourable members and they have gone through it. I said, yes, please, quickly, make sure that we have the PowerPoint so it's easy for the honourable members to work through the PowerPoint as we go through it. So on this one, yes, but this is not part of our, this is just a ease, making work easy to do. The strategic plan is a guiding document. Honourable Chairperson, let's get to 2010. Let me just take the committee back. 2010 is a FIFA-owned event. 2010, FIFA afforded the Republic of South Africa the honor to host on their behalf. 17 government guarantees were signed. First time ever in the history of the World Cup that LOC is made up of business, soccer, and government. Because we insisted as a government, since we are taking the money of the people and we are putting up the infrastructure, and we provided the guarantees, and not the SAFA or the soccer fraternity per se. We insisted that we be part and included in the LOC. However, Chair, it's been said over and over, and I want to make it abundantly clear, FIFA has a company called Match. Now, Match is the acronym, the M for marketing, the A for accreditation, the T for ticketing, and so on and so on. Hospitality, that's what's comprising Match, a FIFA-owned company. The Department of Sport and Recreation is only the coordinating government department as far as the 17 guarantees provided by government to FIFA is concerned. What does that mean? It means, Chair, that in terms of the budget, when we started, we had to ensure that the host city agreements are signed with FIFA, which are duly signed. We had to ensure that anti-ambush marketing legislation via the Department of Trade and Industry is in place. We had to monitor and ensure that the protocols of visiting dignitaries and so on are in place from the Department of then Foreign Affairs, now DIRCO. We had to ensure that we pass the necessary legislation. Honourable members may be aware that we did pass in 2005 the Special Measures Bill, which has in it a sunset clause, which says, I think 6 months after the final whistle blows, the Act becomes redundant, it's no more in force, it's a special bill that we passed to accommodate this period of the World Cup. I can carry on. Now, honourable members, if the committee tells me that they don't feel part, I want to confess I also sometimes don't feel part. Why? It is not the government of South Africa's event. It's a FIFA event. It is not the Department of Sport and Recreation dishing out tickets. With what budget? Ooh, how can I justify in front of anybody that we've taken money off the taxpayers and we bought tickets for the already empowered to attend soccer matches? On what basis do I do that? Mm. Never. On the very same basis, we don't buy t-shirts. We don't dish out t-shirts to people for 2010. We are not going to do that. There's no budget. From which budget? How can I justify that we've now bought t-shirts to dish out to the members of parliament, honourable members, and then the councillors, and then the people in the provincial legislators, and so on. So we've just dished out a couple of hundred million rand worth of things to the empowered. No, it can't be. It can't be, honourable chair. It cannot be at all. So whoever told the honourable member that we locked up something somewhere, I would like to hear who that is. Because there is no such thing. In fact, the Minister of Sport, the Deputy Minister of Sport, bought their own t-shirts. We paid for them out of our pockets. That's what we have. In fact, we are battling with Adidas to get big enough sizes into the country, because the complaint we're getting is that the sponsor of FIFA, Adidas, is not shipping into the country big enough sizes. That's what we're hearing. We're dealing with that to ensure that we have to our people available to buy t-shirts. However, Chair, I must point out that we are one of the departments driving with the Department of Trade and Industry, putting the challenge there to say, this is the time now. It's got nothing to do with the thing Adidas here in front of the chest. We don't need that. We don't even need the SAFA soccer balls. What we need is the Protea on the left chest in the colors. That's what we need to show the support for the national team, to be part of the vibe. Chairperson, in terms of invitations, unfortunately, the Department of Sport and Recreation is not in a position to issue any invitation to any event in terms of the World Cup. Let me clarify what I'm saying. If they say to the final draw, we only have, I think, 2,000 seats, so many dignitaries from FIFA, so many this, so many that, it's no match, telling us these things, Deputy Minister, you can only get, only because you're the Deputy Minister of Sport, one ticket. You can't even take your spouse or a companion with. We say no. We at least want one for every member of cabinet. They come back, they say no. You can't have one for every member of cabinet. Because then the Western Cape where he sounds is going to say the same. We go a route of protocol. That's what they tell us. Because, Chair, that is the guarantee that was signed before 2004, before Makankesi Stofile and Gert Oosthuizen were deployed to this portfolio. We were deployed on the 10th of May, on the 15th of May, that very same year. 5 days later, FIFA said, we've awarded you the right to host. We only had to take the guarantees signed and now implement. We won a little bit back for government. The fact, Chair, that with the final draw on the 4th of December, I ended up there by myself. No other ticket, not even for a companion or a spouse. I also questioned that. But I said, these are the people we have. We do ask, and I want to put it on record, continuously select committee, portfolio committee, in host cities, mayoral committee members, mayors, we go through that. But once we've tabled that, honorable members, the decision is theirs. What do happen, though? I know. We have various tiers of sponsors. I know, for instance, a particular sponsor, I think, made shirts. I speak under correction. Clearly not at the Department of Sport and Recreation. The yellow Protea shirt available to the Portfolio Committee.
Honorable Deputy Minister, I'm just going to give you 2 minutes because I think that the issues that the members have raised, I think it's very important, but they're not crucial as
okay.
What you are going to, maybe what you will have to create.
Chair, thank you.
Because really, it's really frustrating. With maybe, Deputy, with your due respect, just to indicate that even last year when, I was just forced, I couldn't just have to talk personally to this lady from the LOC. Then he was saying to me that, but according to protocol, we only got the NA committee. Those are the issues that really I felt that, which I just allowed the Deputy Minister to respond, but we'll create time because to me I think it's important, but let's focus on the issue of the day, which brought us here really. Because I wanted members just to raise their questions and all that. I think we'll create time to clear some of the stuff.
Well, Chair, thank you so much. No, thank you for that, but I just wanted to say clearly. And I want to say here, there is no member for which the department has paid to travel or to visit anything. There is no such budget in our department. And in terms of the event per se, Honourable Chair, we have on more than one occasion raised the various layers of government to be incorporated and accommodated, and I'm not too sure whether everybody will be accommodated in the opening and in the finals. But I think the spread throughout the 2010, with the limited tickets we have leveraged, I think everybody and every honorable member will be catered for in the process. Chair, and lastly, a very pertinent question. We do brief this honorable committee on our budget for the strategic plan. Because it's part of Parliament, it's a House of Parliament. We have to do that, we want to do that, and we want the honourable members to be involved, and obviously want their support in the process. So there is no way, Chair, that in the eyes of the department, without a end off, we view one committee more important than the other. If anybody says that, bring them to me or Mfundisi Stofile, we will explain to them down the line, it's just not true. It doesn't exist. And I hope, Chair, with my remarks, there's a better understanding in terms of invitations and all that goes with that. Honourable Chair, I don't know whether you want me to move on to the strategic plan now. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. We are here today to deal with the strategic plan of the Department of Sport and Recreation. It will say 2010 to 2014. It will most certainly be after the State of the Nation address again be amended next year. And hopefully not. But Chair, just before I ask the Director General, who's the accounting officer, to walk the portfolio committee or the select committee through the strategic plan, just two observations. The one is, a strategic plan tells you where the department is heading to. Under each program in the strategic plan will be a business plan, talking to and telling you how we will achieve what we say in our strategic plan. Lastly, Honourable Chair, and let me say this, I wanted the department not to hear what I'm going to say now. And the frustrating part for the politician is that you are guided by your baseline budget allocated by Treasury as to what you can and what you can't achieve in your strategic plan. For instance, we are aware of the lack of facilities, but we don't have enough money to address it overnight. We are aware of a lot of these things because we move around and honourable members engage with us, not only formally but informally. But I just ask the honourable committee to what we present view against the background that this is what we can, in terms of our business plans, achieve against the baseline budget of the department. And if we take it that route, Honourable Chair, with your permission, let me ask the Director General, I see he's got his PowerPoint presentation working now, to walk the Honourable Committee through our PowerPoint presentation and strategic plan. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Thank you very much. I will go through the strategic plan, but out of respect and with permission, Chairperson, just to say that I think the concerns raised by members extend beyond 2010 in the sense of not feeling part of the activities of the department. The reason we have the director strategy here is to make sure that we note that concern and that we take it up with the parliamentary liaison officer who must coordinate with this committee to make sure that information is disseminated about departmental events. It is really something that I'm quite disturbed by, that there is a sense that invitations of departmental activities are not reaching the committee, and really insist that we take it up and make sure that we improve on that. I think I also have to say, and the Deputy Minister, in having explained, perhaps did not even say he's not even on the list for the opening or the closing.
That's not yet.
Neither is the Director General for Sport and Recreation. So, if anything, we're really in the same boat with you, because the issue of tickets for VIPs and VVIPs are being managed by the accreditation office of the organizing committee. But what we can tell is, because we're in the same boat with you, we've taken up your battle as in as a determined way possible, because we're affected by the same sense of not being included. And I'm saying that seriously. two things I tried to do was to say, you know what, since we do not have control over these tickets, the minister, deputy minister, can't we just get for ourselves, you know, a suite where we can invite our select committee and our portfolio committee and other key stakeholders so we don't have to create the sense that we are sidelining them. And when we approached Treasury to ask them for permission to do that, they said under no circumstances. The only department we'll allow to buy a suite is the Department of International Cooperation for Foreign Dignitaries and Heads of State. So the battle for tickets, I think we have, and I think correctly so, we've been asking the committees, and this committee as well, to approve, you know, huge sums that were spent on the tournament. And it's in our interest to make sure that this group, as a very critical stakeholder, is accommodated. So I have had discussions with the LOC, and I've raised my concerns about the invitations to members of the select committee. Their retort was that clearly they just simply do not have enough. So I said, well, in that case, make sure that we coordinate with the members of the committee so that at least if they cannot be invited to the opening or the closing, let them be invited to a match where they are. So can I say that we have been asking for that information to come through and for us to feed that to the committee? I thought I just needed to explain that. But having said that, Honourable Chair, and also to say that this is our strategic session with the committee, and we regard this as extremely important, and just not simply by words, to illustrate that we have had a request from the Portfolio Committee prior to the invitation to this committee to appear before Portfolio Committee exactly the same date and exactly the same time. And so actions should speak louder than words. You have the accounting officer, you have the chief financial officer, you have the deputy minister addressing this committee and not the Portfolio Committee. We've sent another team to the Portfolio Committee. So really this perception that we do not consider this committee as important is really one that we want to dispel in the strongest possible way. Having said that, thank you for this opportunity. We have the PowerPoint presentation, Chairperson, and we explain to the committee the process that we have followed on slide one to develop this strategic plan. Strategic plan, in its very essence, is a long-term view of what the department will do, in this case stretching from 2010 to 2012, 2014 at least. It's a long-term view. It commences with a review of the strategic plan tabled in the previous year by managers, and we indicate that that review has taken place in November last year. Whilst we do the review, we have to make sure that it is linked to the overall approach of government. But we cannot finalize the process prior to the State of the Nation address because we know that their policy announcements are made that we need to respond to. And so we await the final State of the Nation address, giving us very tight time frames for when to conclude the process. We have built in you know, the policy announcements of the President within our plan and aligned it appropriately. And you would also recall that the President very firmly stated that 2010 is indeed the year of action and that the 2010 FIFA World Cup provides the cornerstone of our campaign to make 2010 a year of action. So our department is really viewed as a critical contributor to the strategic outcomes that governments seek to achieve in the short to medium term. We also indicated that we have, on the 3rd of March, already tabled a strategic plan to Portfolio Committee. we tabled it in Parliament, is right, and presented it on the 10th of March to the Portfolio Committee. We have been also involved all the heads of departments in the provinces in finalizing our plan, and on the 11th of and 12th of March we again presented it to the technical MINMEC, and today is our day to present it to this honorable committee So that's essentially the process. Chairperson, whilst I do recognize that the Select Committee is on the ground and the issues confronting you often are immediate, in this session and in this strategic plan, we obviously present a high-level overview of the work, and we always have to accept that there is a tension between the immediate and that high-level strategy. I'm saying that because invariably when we do talk about strategic plan, we do accept that the committee may ask us in engagement on specific issues. Whilst we're quite prepared to engage with the committee, we may not be able to give you all the answers today. But we do so with an open mind. So, Chairperson, many of the things that's contained in the strategic plan, I think, are not new to this committee. Indeed, we are saying that the 2010-2014 strategic plan continues to focus on what we have been doing over the recent past, and that is, in the first place, promoting access to sport and recreation facilities, and in the second place, ensuring international success on the sporting field. So those are our two overarching strategic foci. Of course, in doing so, we must also take into account the 2010 FIFA World Cup and the long-lasting legacy that it will leave behind, so we cannot let our eye off the ball with regard to 2010. Chairperson, in pursuit of these two overarching foci, we are saying we are hopefully within this strategic plan putting greater emphasis on not only identifying but also developing and nurturing new talent. We want to, whilst we identify and nurture new talent, we want to close that gap between people entering the sporting system through the mass participation program on the one hand and our elite programs on the other. We point out in our strategic document, as I've indicated before, that it is by its very nature not a dramatic change from the previous strategy. I will indicate, however, that we do want to place an added focus on the recreation part of sport and recreation. I'm sure this committee will agree with me that recreation, in some sense, has been neglected in our country, but we'll come to that issue. Chairperson, we are compelled, in terms of putting before this committee a strategic plan, to take into account the broad strategic environment that shape our response to this portfolio. And so we again go back to the United Nations imperatives there. The UN's statement around sport and physical education, the importance of the Millennium Development Goals to which South Africa is a signatory, and the importance of making sure that we understand the Millennium Development Goals and that we integrate that in our work as a member of this global body. And then lastly, from the UN perspective, the important role that sport can play in the peace initiatives through the focus on sport for peace and development, an issue that our Deputy Minister in particular is extremely passionate about. He will talk about it for hours if we allow him to. Chairperson, we are also talking about, besides the United Nations, the importance of us when responding to the strategy for South Africa to look at our international obligations, our location within the international community. We have continued to play, and we will continue to do so, to play a leading role on the continent itself and indeed in the world, both in order to ensure that we access international resources for sport and recreation, but we also spread the power of sport on the continent broadly and on the subcontinent in particular. We believe that that is a very important strategic imperative of sport and recreation. And to this end, Chairperson, this committee is aware of the leading role that we have played in the Supreme Council of Sport in Africa up to now, and to report to this committee that from a strategic point of view, the African Union has now decided that the Supreme Council of Sport in Africa should be aligned more closely to the AU structures, and so therefore we have been part of leading the process of aligning the Supreme Council of Sport activities to that of the Organization of African the African Union. See, I'm right. Still locked up in the past there. So that process is underway, and we indeed playing a leading role through the participation of our minister in putting the founding documents in place of the AU to give effect to that resolution. Chairperson, we are, I'm repeating the importance of the State of the Nation Address and the strategic direction given to the department as of 2010, indeed, as a year of action, and the pressure is on us to make sure that we live up to that expectation. In terms of the government's current program of action for the period 2010 to 2015, as contained in the government medium-term strategic framework, we have taken those imperatives on board, as I've indicated. Honourable members would have read in the media more recently a much greater focus on the part of the President, not only on activities that we participate in as state departments, but in order to measure the outcome. We must begin to measure what impact and difference we make on the lives of our people. And so the outcomes approach is also impacting on the way we will be attempting to tell the story of sport and recreation going forward. And in terms of the 12 outcomes of government, we certainly see sport and recreation contributing to the outcomes on inclusive citizenship, and we hope that this committee will also be part of the discussion to give content to how we use sport and recreation to build an inclusive citizenship. Physical well-being through the work that our Department of Basic Education is doing to pursue the outcome, improved outcomes on basic education, as well as the health outcomes to promote a healthier lifestyle among South Africans. So you can see more and more we need to identify the specific contributions of sport towards those ideals or impacts that the government want to see. Similarly, we have underestimated up to now the role that sport and recreation can play in skills development and economic growth, not only about creating jobs, but creating jobs that is sustainable and that can really generate sufficient income to citizens. It's a potential that we've not exploited completely within the sector, but that we need to give serious attention to. Chairperson, we do, when we revisit and assess our plans, take serious the comments of this committee and also the portfolio committee. You know, your comments are quite helpful, and when we engage, we check those comments and expectations against the direction that we are going. In terms of the National Sport and Recreation Act, we are saying that the Act assigned the powers and functions to develop and implement national policies and programs to the department through the power vested in the Minister of Sport and Recreation, who oversees the development and management of sport and recreation in South Africa. And we are also emphasizing that the Act itself ensures that South Africa sport contributes to the physical education, social development through legislation on sport participation as well as sports infrastructure. We talk about the various directorates that we have in place to deal with these, including mass participation facilities, school sports, scientific support, and so on. These are all obligations given to the Department of Sport and Recreation through the National Sport and Recreation Act. And again, we should not forget that the Department of Sport and Recreation is indeed the supreme body responsible for sport and recreation in South Africa, irrespective of the roles that different stakeholders are playing in this regard. Chairperson, but if I'm sure that those of you who have recently looked at the Act will also see contradictions between what's in the Act and how these policies and programs are playing itself out, and also the possible gaps within the Act. And so we are clear that after a number of years of having this Act in place, that we need to interrogate the Act again to see if it's still responsive to the needs in the current situation. And so what I am reporting to this committee is that we have embarked, and we've reported previously to the committee that we've embarked on this process. We are 80% almost complete in terms of developing a reviewed white paper for sport and recreation. We think it is timely. Just last week, as a matter of fact, managers with critical stakeholders met to review the white paper to say, you know, how do we begin to use this positive wave that 2010 has generated in itself as a legacy for sport, broadly speaking, and not only for football. And if we do not critically look at that in within a wider context and at our primary policy instrument, which is the white paper, then we would have lost an opportunity. So we involved in a very exciting process currently to re-examine our approach to sport and recreation, and we would hope that this committee would at some point call us here to share with you some of the policy assumptions and therefore some of the policy shifts that we think need to happen and how those assumptions and shifts need to be accommodated within an amended Sport and Recreation Act that we would want to bring before this committee in due course. So that process is on the way, and it's very exciting. Chairperson, and in that same vein, when we talk about the Act and its own limitations, you would recall the tension that currently exists between a national department that, in terms of the Act, is viewed largely as a regulator, as a facilitator, making sure that policies are in place, that norms and standards are in place, and not really as a department that delivers on sport and recreation. It's a tension because if we say we are indeed the supreme body, and if there's a lack of capacity on any level to achieve the outcomes and the results that we want to see, where does it leave us? And so, for example, take the challenge of transformation, being dependent on the critical stakeholders, whether that may be the sports federations, the confederation, and other key stakeholders, the role that provinces must play in terms of delivering of sport, the roles of municipalities. We think that the Act needs to be made much more explicit about these roles and the powers that we see. I see you're watching the time. Chair, you must just indicate if I need to speed up. Are we? No, are we okay? So interrupt me at any point if I'm too detailed. So, Chairperson, we are talking here also about what the Deputy Minister is saying, that yes, we do have this vision for sport and recreation, but we must remain realistic that sport competes with many other obligations of government for resources, and therefore it's not only about complaining that we do not have enough resources, it's about making sure that we can make that solid case and that we can make our case strong enough about the potential of sport and recreation to achieve our broader transformation objectives. And you would recall recently, and I do hope the committee has received our document that we published towards the end of last year, Case for Sport. It contains very useful information, not only about participation patterns in sport, and that we can link right back to our mass participation programs. It talks about economic impacts of sport and recreation on the gross domestic product of a country and of South Africa specifically, and about the strategic position of this department and of sport and recreation to contribute to economic growth. So we are not amiss to understanding the significance of this portfolio, although in many respects it is undervalued in some sectors. We need to assert that yes, we have a very important contribution to make. But to re-emphasize the point that we do so dependent on partnerships that we have with civil society broadly, with sporting federations and other non-governmental organizations. This committee is familiar with the fact that we continue to have the two entities that report directly to the Minister of Sport and Recreation, the South African Institute for Drug-Free Sport, a structure that we're extremely proud of, the only one of its kind in Africa that's accreditation to do anti-doping testing, very proud of the model that we've been able to put in place and also very proud of the fact, we will see later, that it's the one area where we've been able to convince Treasury to supplement the budget for SAGE in order for us to meet our obligations in respect of drug-free sport and to ensure integrity through our sport participation. But the fact that it is the only accredited institute with an accredited laboratory should make us extremely proud. Boxing South Africa is the other entity. I cannot but make this statement that, yeah, we've been having some serious challenges. You're familiar with the challenges in boxing South Africa. Of course, being an entity, we do take responsibility for the current challenges, and we have started various processes to ensure that we have a turnaround in this very important sport in our country, being supported to a much greater extent by previously disadvantaged communities in particular, and many advantaged communities. But we have seen over the years the support being eroded for various factors, and so there are serious interventions that's required. But that's the other entity that we have reporting to us. Chairperson, within this strategic plan, we're giving you an indication of the bills that we hope to bring to this committee within the period of the strategic plan. This year itself, we hope to bring the South African Combat Sports Bill, where we want to rationalize to a greater extent all combat sports, including boxing, so that we have that under one umbrella. And we do hope that we will be able to put that bill before the committee. We also have so far processed some of the regulations and hope to do so in the course of this year, the hosting and bidding regulations, fitness regulations. Now that this committee has been through the Safety at Sports and Recreation Events Bill, as soon as it's promulgated, we would want to bring before this committee the regulations that address the Safety and Sports and Recreation Act. We have recently processed regulations relating to the accreditation of foreign medical contingents and approval of medicines, scheduled substances and medical devices, essentially asking us what do we know in sport about all these complicated medical issues. We really only the vehicle. The Department of Health played a central role, but it's really in terms of our obligation adhering to one of the guarantees that we've provided to FIFA. And you will see this week we've just asked the Minister to publish those regulations. Chairperson, to go into the detail of the focus areas, and I don't need to cover it in such detail because this committee is familiar with the primary foci, as I've already alluded to, under mass participation. Very simple. It's about increasing the number of participants. It's about delivery of school sports program. I think I must train our people that we can't talk about sports. It's about sport, school sport program. But ultimately, Chairperson, whilst we are saying that the issue of resources, we've got to be mindful of the resource allocation, making sure that we can account effectively for the money that we are receiving. And so therefore, we have to embark on much more stringent monitoring and evaluation systems, develop that, and efforts in order to begin to show to this committee and Parliament value for money. The second leg being sports development, we have said that we've got to close the gap between the mass participation in our elite sport, and therefore the talent identification and development is an area that we feel needs to be developed to a much greater extent. And so within the strategic plan, we're giving greater impetus to that. In respect of high performance as a key focus area, you will see there that we are dependent because the responsibility for high performance is essentially that of SASCOC and the national federations, but we do feel that there is a space for us to solidify the strategic partnerships so that we can all work in tandem Of course, more recently you would have seen, particularly with SESCOP's campaign for the road to London, that there's a lot of exciting initiatives there to improve South Africa's medal chances, and we're working very closely with SESCOP to roll out that campaign through the different structures within sport and recreation. We talk in the next slide about the enablers. We can't simply say that these are the areas that we want to achieve, but we've got to assess the appropriateness of the enablers, the things that must get us to do what we want to do, whether that is the regulatory framework, whether it's the human resources and financial resources that we have, the importance of sport information so that we can track how we're doing in different sporting codes over a period of time, and the different supporting systems such as the academies that must help us to get there. Chairperson, we are saying that unfortunately, despite the fact that this department is the custodian of 2010, and you can imagine the challenges that we have to respond to in relation to 2010, we've got to make sure that we also sustain our current agenda as the Department of Sport and Recreation, and make sure that all the things that we're highlighting continue to happen at the same time as we are delivering the most spectacular and biggest international event in the world. I've spoken earlier about the need for us to revisit some of our efforts to achieve the transformation challenges within sport and recreation. We're looking at how we use the new outcomes-based approach of government to set very specific targets that must be achieved by the different partners, and how we need to look at the white paper to achieve that. We restate in the next slide essentially our vision and our mission for the department. You're very familiar with an active and winning nation. Honourable members may have noticed that we've changed our vision slightly. The last time we said we wanted to create an active and winning nation, and we thought we're not going to compete with the Almighty. We thought it's only the Almighty who creates. What we can do is only to work towards seeing that we have an active and winning nation. So we've just made that slight amendment. Our mission stays the same: to maximize access, development and excellence at all levels of participation in sport and recreation in order to improve social cohesion, nation building and the quality of life of all South Africans. In terms of the guidelines, we have to again state what the values are we stand for. We have captured that for you. We have indicated here the key stakeholders that we work with and we're dependent on achieving the outcomes that we seek to achieve within the strategic plan. The next slide really tries to capture for us in one summary form what we're all about and what I've been talking about up to now. So if honourable members don't want to go through all our long-winded documents, all you need to do is to refer to this picture where we're trying to consolidate in one slide so that we can all really, truly speaking, sing from the same page in the hymn book. Chairperson, the strategic plan then moves to from the broad strategic high-level direction that we seek to go to some very specific impacts, objectives and outcomes that we want to achieve. I'm not going to cover the detail except to indicate there that we've isolated the impacts, the two major impacts that we want to contribute to, that we think sport and recreation plays a critical role, that of building an inclusive citizenship and that of nation building. And then specifically on the basis of those two broad outcomes, looking at the strategies that we will use to achieve that, to contribute to a healthy nation by increasing the number of participants and the development of talent within an integrated development continuum, to assist South African sport people to be winners on and off the field, to raise the profile of sport and recreation through addressing issues of national importance, to strengthen streamline the delivery of sport by means of effective support systems, and our strategic objective number 5, to contribute in making 2010 FIFA World Cup the best ever. When we then go back to our program structure, you will see that we start with program 2, and it's not that we're hiding program 1, but program 1 traditionally deals with administrative issues, so we're not going to go take your time to go into that nitty-gritty. But program 2, the sports support services, you will see essentially we tried to capture our work in regard to the 66 federations that we have partnerships with. The work that we're doing in the field of high performance with SASCOC, and we want this committee to note that indeed this year is the year of the Commonwealth Games in India in October. We also have the Youth Olympic Games. Actually, it's not listed here, but the Youth Olympic Games is happening this year. We have in 2011, also during the term of this strategic plan, the All Africa Games planned in Mozambique. And of course, the 2012 Olympic Games and Paralympic Games that will be held in London, all forms part of the support that we would have to give through the Sports Support Services Program, not only to enable South Africa to participate effectively, but also our preparations and participation in these events. On Sports Support Services, we highlight the importance of sustaining sports development through the club development initiatives. We talk about the importance of the training that we have to provide in order to make sure that club development takes place. And we're also talking about, again, this very important process of the transition of talented athletes from mass participation to high-performance programs.
Now,
Chairperson, I'm almost done, but I just need the CFO then to cover some of the financial highlights. I've sufficiently expanded on Program 3, the mass participation. I think members are familiar. It's about more people, it's about school sport, and also this is where we build on the legacy for 2010. We do have also the Program 4, internationalizing in events, and this is how we bring sports to the country and also exploit our relationships with international bodies in other countries. The work I've alluded to earlier with the African Union and the Zone 6, and we can talk about that in greater detail, but very important, the responsibility that we have and the contribution of sport and recreation to sports tourism. The debate around the facilities, again, this committee is familiar with the debate, our role that we have in supporting municipalities, primarily through norms and standards that we set up, but also how in leveraging 2010, support for 2010, we're channeling donor funding to municipalities in order to leave some legacy behind. Chairperson, the work of Government 2010 unit is essentially around making sure that the guarantees that we've signed are delivered. And so if I can just ask the CFO to just cover some of the financials on our strategic plan. Thank you, Chair.
Are you the handout presentation that we have circulated? If we look at the budget of sports and recreation, honourable members, if we look back at 2006 and 2007, we can see that the budget has been increasing to an extent that it increased from 886 million to 2.9 billion. This was at an average rate of increase of 48%. Members must, however, know that a significant portion of this increase is attributed to the upgrading of the construction of the stadium for the 2010 World Cup. Over the MTF period, total expenditure is projected to increase at an average of 35% to 793 million in the 2012 and 18, as the upgrading and construction of stadium will be completed in 2010. The mass participation grant allocation has increased at an average rate of 45% between 2006 and 2010. Members should know that the budget of SRSA also includes a refund for the value-added tax for the FIFA, which in the previous year was 15 million and in the current year, 2010 and 11, will be 40 million. The next slide shows that a high level of the budget and the expenditure of the department in the past MTF period. It shows you that in 2006-07, the budget was 959 million. In 2007-08, it increased to 5 billion. I have already indicated it's mainly due to the 2010 stadium project. In 2008-09, it went a little bit down to 4.9 billion. And in 2009-10, further down to 2.8 billion. And in the current year under review, it will be 1.2 billion. Expenditure of the department is indicated in 2006-07, 92% was spent. In 2007-08, 99%. And in 2008-09, 99%. And in 2009-10, also 99%. The next slide is the breakdown in terms of the programs of the department, which is program 1 up to 6. It shows you the breakdown and the expenditure of the budget per program. We can next go to the next slide, which is showing us the economic classification of our budget, which is mainly our compensation of employee and goods and services. You can see the trend of the department's budget as we proceed forward, that it increased, and then, as I indicated, it's going down even on the economic classification. The classification does show a real change or downward trend is your transfers and subsidies. That's where the funds for the stadiums has been allocated. Furthermore, the next slide indicates to us our provincial grants of mass participation, which have increased drastically between 2006-07 and 2008-09. The major increase in 2007-08 and 2008-09 was basically due to the additional allocation, which has to be the stepping stone of the legacy project of the 2010 going forward. To date, the budget of mass participation is almost four times what it was in 2006-07, sitting at 426 million. That is all the money that we are transferring to the provinces. The next slide shows us the allocation for the FIFA stadium, which also started at an increasing trend, and as I indicated, it will decrease, and in the MTF, this year will be the last allocation for the FIFA World Cup, so our budget will be sort of back to normal SRSA budget. The last slide just shows us a breakdown for the budget of the stadiums for the current year, which is indicated as the slide say, and I thank you.
Thank you. Let me just thank the DJ and Jen Kahl for the presentation. I'm just going to open this for discussion, interaction with members. Maybe DJ, members, it's now your chance to interact with the briefing for clarity, seeking questions and questions to the department. Did you I just want to check, man. Like, every time when we speak, we are talking about the stem of the legacy, the 2010 FIFA legacy. I'm more interested if maybe the department can give us more information around this organization, the GTC, that is dealing with this of the legacy program, that if we can get more information, that who in the department, do we have that in the department, who's responsible, and when you go to the provinces, who are, which the area is responsible for that, so that when we go out as we are from the provinces, we should be in a position maybe to visit or to make communities aware of those programs. If we can just get more information around the GTZ program. And I'm going to give it to members now. Honorable Nube, Honorable Blackie, Honorable Debilias.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister. Chairperson, I want clarity here, because there is a made mention of the public entities under the Department of Sports. I know of boxing, which the DG alluded to the challenges, and they presented to us last year, and we saw those challenges as they were presenting. And we've just gone through the interventions here. I think with the boxing of South Africa, there were glaring issues in relation to finance management, and non-availability of the key personnel, senior personnel, including the CFO. And I see on the interventions there's quarterly one-to-one. I'm not sure in terms of the turnaround strategy whether is it making any inroads, because I see September 2009. Is your turnaround strategy in particular in boxing, which is the one entity that presented to us? And also, I'm not sure in terms of how do we get the impact of the task of these agencies as you allocate money to them. Are we allowed to the select companies? I know the public entities report to the NA, and they also do work in provinces. How do we, as we look into your budget, ensure that money is utilized as it has been intended to? Do we have the right of calling them and whatever, or it's only because of the responsibilities of accountability where it accounts to? The second one is on the legacy, as the chairperson has said. In your straight plan, in your straight plan you talk of the six legacy projects, 2010, 5, 2011, 5, 2012. Where are they located, these projects? So that we can then be able, as well from provinces, to do oversight and be able to monitor whether it's just on paper by provinces or it is really doing what is intended. As we're reading papers about the allocation of bonuses, and we don't know whether it's just window dressing or PR exercise, that no, we're rejecting that, others are quiet. Are those legacy projects, where are they located? And so that you can then be able to see whether
how they're responding to public in the paper is what the provinces are going to do. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And I just want to go to this, the third program, mass participation program. I have observed that the major stake of the department budget goes to this program. But what I want to find out from the department, does this program yield desired outcomes for the department? Because my observation is that there's little impact that this program is doing, particularly in rural areas. I would actually refer to the province I'm coming from. The other question is on, I would want the department to draw Deputy Minister, a distinction between mass participation and high performance, and go further to say how does this high performance is being fast-tracked to actually benefit the rural areas. And lastly, Chairperson, or the two questions, Chair, would be very brief, is the name is Sports and Recreation, the name of the department, Sports and Recreation. But I've seen that much focus is on the sports part. What about recreation? Where is our indigenous games? Are we doing both sports and recreation, or are we doing only sports, or talking sports? And the last question is on the disparities of making sure that facilities and the sports access to rural areas, villages. What do department do to make sure that it fast track that the access of sports resources is being achieved even in rural areas? I'm saying it for example, I know for sure in various villages in the Northwest Province, there is even no sports ground. There's absolutely nothing where children can play. So I wanted to check if are we doing enough to make sure that we close up the gap. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. On Program 1 of Administration, the expenditure increases from 2006-2007 to 2009-10 to 84.5 million. But we know that there's a lot of vacant posts in the department. Do that increase also make do cater for these vacant posts in the department to fill it in this year? What percentage of those posts will be filled in this year? The second question is, Honourable Chairperson, is the facilities again on the mass participation of especially students and pupils at schools. So most in a lot of communities, and especially we visited Limpopo, and there I saw that there's not enough sports fields in those communities. What is the department doing to address that situation, mostly in the disadvantaged areas? Because we are actually now concentrating on mass participation, so I actually believe that if we want the community and also the youth to take part in sport, then we must supply them with school sports fields. And also, I also believe that if we can make use of the different schools together with the Department of Education to supply those schools who do not have sports fields, to actually supply them, and what is the program of the department to address that over a period of years. Then my third question is, the National Department allocates a lot of money to provinces. What will the Department of Sport and Recreation do to monitor and coordinate how the different provinces spend that money so that we can actually have a delivery in the different provinces according to the sport and recreation? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable De Villiers. Before that, I'm just prepared, you know, to add on the issue of mass participation. My understanding is that with the mass participation, we want to produce talent. But I just want to check from the department, can we really today say after 3 years that we have been having this program, that we are able to produce talent? Are we in a position, you know, like to have the small Benny McCarthy, Makaya and all that? Because personally, I feel that, yes, mass participation, the budget increases, but really we are not getting what we are supposed to be getting. My argument is that we talk about mass participation, right? Did you rightfully indicated that we represent provinces and will give the pictures of the provinces where we come from. The issue of mass participation is event-oriented, where people will be taken for a certain day, been transported from one area to one place, and have that activity for that day, and does it. Do we have data? Do we really identify? To me, I feel that really we are not doing enough on that. Maybe, but from the department, you might be seeing it from other sides. That's my concern. That is why I just want to check whether do we really produce the talent with this program. The other is the issue of the facilities. I just want to add to what members have indicated. Can maybe the department give us the latest audit report on the facilities, so that we should be in a position while we are in our provinces to visit these facilities. DG, last we indicated that some of the facilities, you know, that are incomplete where we come from. But can we get the latest set of those facilities? Because we cannot be talking about high performance. You know, we want to produce talent, whereas we don't have facilities. Maybe one should indicate the recent protests of youth in Mpumalanga. One of the reasons that they stated is that is because they don't have facilities, which is true. You go to the rural areas, there are no facilities. I think if the department can also just try to clarify us on that and provide us with that list of the facilities that we need. Lastly, DG, this is a policy matter, issue of transformation. If you could just bring how far, you know, is the department on that matter regarding the issue of the quotas, gender, and what are the challenges, if ever we, the department is encountering other challenges. We'll go for the second round. Over to the department.
Thank you, honourable members. The opening comment by the honourable chair on the role of GTZ, I take it that we should provide this committee with information. And so if I just ask that we, you know, make a note of that and give you sufficient information. But let me just say this about the GTZ, just from the understanding of the committee, also of the parameters of our partnership, that the GTZ is the German arm of the German Department of International Cooperation. And indeed, we are very happy with the cooperation that Germany as a country has given us to build lasting legacies around 2010, and particularly knowing the meaning of the 2006 World Cup on Germany and the impact that it had. So we're quite honored about this partnership. Essentially, the program that we're doing with GTZ is a program called Youth Development Through Sport. And it's essentially about using the power of sport to teach young people life skills in particular, as well as developing an interest in different sporting codes, with very strong requirements that it should focus on young people in previously disadvantaged communities, but also obtain the appropriate gender balances. So we're talking about reaching 50,000 young people through the GTZ's program of youth development through sport. They do this not only in partnership with ourselves, but also in partnership with non-governmental organizations where they implement these programs. And we can give the detail to the honorable members of where they have a presence. In some instances, of course, in putting in young people in some of their sports programs, they do provide some basic facilities, you know, like artificial turfs for young people to play on. And so this program has been viewed as a very useful one. And so what we've seen also recently is that the European Union decided to use GTZ also as its implementation partner, where through the European Union they've also made available money for us to expand that program of youth development through sport. So that's the youth development through sport element, and we can give the details to the committee. There is another partnership that we are pursuing with the German government through the work of the German Development Bank, KfW, and that partnership is essentially where we're trying to put in place, again in rural areas predominantly, but also in other urban areas where there's a need for it, putting in place artificial turfs where young people can play to leave behind the legacy, and also further to give municipalities an option to develop sporting facilities or sporting fields, soccer fields, where these may not be of a particular standard. And so in terms of our agreement with the KfW, the development arm, the development bank arm of the German government, there is 100 such projects. And the way that communities access funding is we have advertised and sent information to the municipalities who apply for this in order for us to make sure that some projects are in place. Prior to the World Cup, we have instituted a fast-tracking project so that there could be some facilities in place by the time of the kickoff. But these are projects that will run beyond the World Cup cutoff date, long after the final whistle is blown. And it's obviously part of our legacy projects. But I accept the requirement for you to be given information in that regard. Honorable Nede, you have raised the challenges of boxing, and quite correctly you have stated that the last time we were before you, we highlighted what those core challenges are. And let me just say up front that you're very entitled to call these entities before you to explain any aspect of the work, as the parliamentary structure providing oversight, in as far as we're only giving you second-hand information. Please feel free to call them to account. But on the side of the boxing challenges, and I'm sure the Deputy Minister may want to comment on it, the problems that we've seen is problems that's been coming over a number of years. And, you know, it really relates to the finding of the Auditor General that questions whether boxing is a going concern. Despite the fact that we year on year give a government allocation to boxing, quite clearly they have spent a lot more than what they've been getting from us without raising money on themselves independently. And we do believe that there is scope for boxing to raise money through sponsorships, albeit indirectly through people who put these, the promoters who put these boxing tournaments, bring them into the country, or organize these national tournaments and television rights and partnerships with other sponsors, financial sponsors. So it's really been a question of management, or should I put it mismanagement, of boxing that we've been concerned about. The members will also recall that more recently the chief executive officer of boxing resigned, and also that they have operated without a CFO for a considerable period of time. Now, whether they're able to appoint staff whilst they have financial difficulties is a different matter. But we know that good governance is critical, and when we do transfer money, we have to make sure that that money is accounted for. What we have been struggling with as a department was whether we could assist boxing in different ways, either through a secondment of an official. Unfortunately, that effort could not materialize. But we have since increased the allocation to boxing to provide for the appointment of these key staff, both the CEO as well as the chief financial officer, so that at least on that side we can make sure that the operations and good governance practices are in place. We are following the boxing convention that we've had recently. We are in discussions with National Treasury to revisit the model for boxing in terms of government entities and the challenges that we as government departments face when there are performance issues. And so some policy proposals that emerged out of the convention that we've had last week, the weekend before, the past weekend, we are just finalizing the report, and we are will be interrogating the recommendations that flow from that in order to put the turnaround strategy for boxing in place. So it involves studying the recommendations from the convention, engaging with National Treasury, the unit responsible for public entities, improving the financial, the revenue of boxing in order to strengthen the governance. Those are the key areas of focus that we are implementing to assure the kind of turnarounds. Chairperson, I would in the same vein also ask that we provide the members with a list of the legacy projects that we're reporting on and where we plan to have that over the next 3 years. If we can just make a note of that. Honourable Plaikie, you have raised concerns about the efficacy of the mass participation program, particularly in rural areas. Let me tell you that yes, indeed, if we have to measure whether we have the numbers increasing, then we can say yes, indeed, many more people are coming through our mass participation program year on year on year. In fact, I've just looked at the statistics, Chairperson, and I'm alarmed that in the area of school sport, through the mass participation program and the funding that we give to provinces, we notice that we've seen a growth of less than 600,000 in the last financial year, but to almost 1.3 million people in the last financial year, 2009-2010 figures. So clearly, when we look at the numbers, we can see growth. Also, the number of volunteers, paid volunteers and coordinators that we deploy on these programs, there is growth. Of course, the key question that we should be asking is the question that the chairperson asked later on, whether this participation is translating into talent, whether we're able to identify the talent, and whether they're giving us the new Benny McCarthy's and so on. We can think of the isolated incidences. And more recently, we've had our first African gymnast from KwaZulu-Natal emerging, and we're very proud of that. But we don't want those isolated stories. We obviously believe that the cutting-off process should generate much larger numbers of talented athletes who can compete internationally and on a high performance level. It's for this reason, Chairperson, that we have, in our discussions with SASCOC, demarcated the work for us very clearly to say to SASCOC, you are primarily responsible for high performance athletes already in the system. Our responsibility is to take those who we have identified and put them through a program, through our high performance centers, our partnerships with tertiary institutions, to make sure that these young people are developed optimally. And we have reported in our plan that we last year had 1,600 such athletes on our program. And we give them all kinds of services through our partnerships with the tertiary institutions. So yes, perhaps we are not producing the numbers that we want to see, but we are asking ourselves whether we're doing the right things and whether we have the right mix to begin to see the kind of results that we all want to see. So essentially, you know, Honourable Chair, when we talk about high-performance athletes, and here I want to, I don't want to get into trouble with the Honourable Ngobe, because those Gauteng keep on telling us that they're the house of champions, is that what it is? But the truth of the matter is they come from other provinces and sometimes also from the rural areas. Most of them from Northwest, I'll believe you, especially if we think of all the investments that we see in the Northwest. But seriously, the question is whether we can see these athletes coming through from rural areas and the extent to which that is happening. Chairperson, one of the first people to say the biggest problem that we have with our mass participation program, now that we have, as you correctly pointed out, over a period of 3 years, consistently increased our allocation to that program, is what is it that we are getting in return? And this is what we've been grappling with over the recent years. And this is why last year when we came to this committee, we've said we now have asked the Technical Assistance Unit, which is a unit housed at National Treasury, to really help us to strengthen the monitoring and evaluation elements of our mass participation program, that we can have very clear these are the objectives we wanted to achieve, these were the standards, these are the ratios that we want to see, this is what we want to get out of this investment. We want to be able to compare how Gauteng is doing and the outputs compared to how Northwest is doing, and all those dynamics. And right now, we are saying that with the work that we're doing with the Technical Assistance Unit, we have at least started to set better baselines. In other words, to say, this is where we were, this is how we want to define what you must deliver in terms of this program. Going forward, on a quarterly basis and on an annual basis, we want to see systematic improvement, not only in terms of the numbers of the people we bring into the system, because we clearly see that happening. But what is it? What story does those numbers tell us? So that kind of rigorous analysis is what's lacking, and that we ultimately want to come back to this committee to tell that story more objectively. And we hope we can do so when we deal with our annual report. We can begin to analyze some of these trends. Of course, we've also just last week, as management, engaged with the same Technical Assistance Unit to strengthen the project management function around the mass participation program, to begin to respond to some of these challenges that the Honourable Plaikie is putting to us. The distinction between mass participation and high performance and what happens in between, the whole continuum, that we're able to tell that story. We take it also, and this is what I've said, and perhaps I've not spoken enough about it, we have said that we're concerned about the recreation elements, Honourable Plaikie, that we've not given sufficient attention to it. Is it enough that we have the older person's games every year where old people are participating, and I don't know every day whether that is recreation or whether it's competitive, because I can tell you those older people are highly competitive when they participate in the older person's games, or whether the indigenous games, whether that is the sum total of what we're talking about. We are saying no. When we think about the importance of sport towards contributing to healthy lifestyles, we want larger numbers of our people to participate. And so we want to set the targets. It's a question that we're grappling with as we're developing the white paper. What are the targets that we want to see of people participating in sport. And this is where I want to refer you again back to our case for sport, where some interesting tracking and trends, we discussed those trends of participation of people, particularly young people, but also companies generally, so that we can see how through our efforts that is growing. So we have, as I've pointed out to the committee, the slide that we've presented. We've tried to point out there the relationship between recreation, high performance, and certainly mass participation. If you recall the slide that I referred to earlier, that we took quite a bit of time to develop, and you will see here, very importantly, the need for us to expand on what exactly we mean when we talk about recreation. We are in discussion with many stakeholders to develop the content of this program, and we hope that when we come before the committee next year, we will be able to give you feedback on how we've expanded on our recreation focus. Chairperson, the issue of facilities remain a critical challenge that we are dealing with. You will recall that we've said over and over again that the time when this department was responsible for the development of sport facilities, we can say without a fear of contradiction that those facilities were put in place in large numbers. We lost the initiative when the building for sport and recreation was taken away from the department, and when we were entirely dependent on the municipal infrastructure grant funding. The battle for us to get the municipal infrastructure grant funding back under the jurisdiction of the department, or at least to have it ring-fenced, is a battle that on a political level our ministers are continuing to fight. Because we can clearly see that if municipalities are given a choice, sport will remain at the lowest of the priority list, and that we cannot tolerate. In the meantime, of course, what we are doing is indeed what you have alluded to track the development of sporting facilities, to look at the current state thereof, and we've completed an audit that we've put on our website. It's quite a bulky document, so I don't want to promise that I will make copies of that. Perhaps we can just see if we can get the executive summary of the audit to committee members and to refer you to the website address and where it can be accessed. But if you do want to look at the detail after having looked at the executive summary, we can quite willing to give you that information. So if we can again make a note of the request that the chairperson subsequently made for the audit results. But yes, indeed, setting national norms and standards for different kinds of sporting facilities that we want to see in every community that we have developed and that we have made available to municipalities. Municipalities continue to use us as a resource when planning these developments. On a different angle, we are working with those partners where we do know there's donor funding available for infrastructure development in order to channel them to the areas where there's the greatest need, not only with KFW that I referred to earlier, but also other partnerships with the Sports Trust, for example, who we now more are beginning to use as a partner also in the area of talent identification that we can talk to you about at great length. Honourable De Villiers, I'm going to ask the CFO to respond to the trends in the administration allocation. CFO, you want to touch on that issue?
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. Yes, the increase in the budget in Programme 1 also take into consideration the vacant posts, because those posts are funded posts, even if by that time they were vacant. And we are in the process of filling those positions, and I can assure you that as we are talking here today, we have already, DGF already indicated that the COO is attending the portfolio committee meeting, which is one of the posts in senior management which remained vacant for quite some time. And we also filled in the position of the chief director. And other junior pools, and we hope by the end of this financial year all the pools will have been filled. But as you know, that there is a turnover of employees, but our view is that by the end of the financial year all the pools have been filled. Thank you.
There were the other questions posed by the Honourable De Villiers. You've asked, you've spoken about the lack of facilities at schools and in rural areas, and lamented the fact that our children don't always have facilities to play on. We agree with you fully. We think it is inconsistent with our rights culture that children should not have access. We believe it should be the case. I'm also appalled to see more and more, certainly in the Western Cape, Honourable De Villiers, if you drive around, how schools that may have had sport facilities are now camping off the school and allowing the sports side to be neglected. We need to speak out against that in very strong terms and make sure that the Department of Basic Education and parents and communities locally begin to turn that process around. Of course, Jefferson, here, in as much as we are saying that on a community level, we're entirely dependent on municipalities to deliver, and having reported on the shortcomings that we see in allocations by municipalities of the municipal infrastructure grant, when it comes to schools, we are entirely reliant on the school governing bodies and the Department of Basic Education to begin to plan for those facilities to be in place. We're confident that as we begin, we're in the process now of reviewing the policy for school sport. We've been working very closely with the Department of Basic Education. We have, through the Department of Basic Education, started to strengthen the information systems that can give us a sense of what facilities there are at all schools across the country, so that we can again look at the need and how far we are in terms of the overall need. But ultimately what we are saying is that when it comes to schools, and you know, Treasury will not give sport and recreation funding to build facilities at schools. Treasury must give that money to basic education. But because our responsibility is to make sure that we facilitate that process, we are saying to education, let's use the school's sport policy to make sure that Cabinet approves and Treasury understands the responsibility for making providing access to particularly rural and poorer schools, where we see the participation levels being very low, as well as the per capita expenditure per child is quite low. So quite clearly there is a gap, and we need to make sure that our schools are better resourced, because it doesn't help us to bring these programs of sport and recreation and to spend mass participation funding to bring children into the system, but at the school level things are not as organized because of a lack of facilities on the one hand, or a lack of dedicated personnel to do so. So those are things that we are addressing jointly with the Department of Basic Education. I have spoken, Honourable De Villiers, about the importance of making sure that we hold provinces to those set targets and the work that we're doing with the Technical Assistance Unit. And I also, Honourable Chairperson, that on the issue of talent identification, the partnerships that we have now with the Sports Trust, our specific interventions vis-a-vis that of SASCOC in relation to talent identification and providing access of talented athletes through our contracts with the tertiary institutions. I think we also indicate in the program the money that we spend towards that objective. I've indicated that we will provide the audit, at least the executive summary of the facilities audit, so that we can engage around that and the members of this committee can monitor it. Lastly, Honourable Chair, you've raised the question on transformation. It's a topic that we can you know, discuss for a long time. Let me just say this, that we believe that we can see that although federations talk about transformation, the results are not clearly visible. And therefore, what we are saying is that we really need to revisit this issue of transformation and how we hold
national federations and all other sporting bodies to a transformation charter with a commonly agreed set of objectives that we are pursuing. So right now, with the appointment of the new chief director for support services, Professor Singh, one of the first priority areas we've asked him to focus on is the development of the transformation charter and very clear transformation objectives so that we can hold these federations to account. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, for allowing me, Honourable Members, to come in. Perhaps on the angles that the Director General, as the Chief Accounting Officer and the official, will not say because he's not the politician. So I ask your indulgence, I'll be very brief. Honourable Chair, if we start the boxing, let's start the boxing, South Africa. Public entity, professional. That's the word. But my worry and my focus is more, and I'm not saying we're not focusing on boxing, I'll come back to that. But the focus is Sanab, which is the amateur part of it. And what is the relationship between the Sanab as a boxing federation for amateurs and the flow up into boxing? What is the role of the licensees and the promoters and the scientific support and the facilities there at the community level is playing in terms of strengthening, fitness, I'm talking about gym equipment, all that goes with that. So we did from the boxing convention direct. As the ministry, we've committed that we'll report back to the relevant structures on the relationship between SANABU and Boxing South Africa. We have had the first rounds of discussions. We are awaiting the recommendations to study them, but we will implement vigorously that situation because we want to see talent developed but opportunities afforded. And we would like to see again the big boxing events where we have the world coming through, because that's the one part of the imperative. But the other part of that is by bringing the boxing fraternity here of the world, we not only get free TV time, but we get sports tourism boosted, the feet are coming here. But Chair, going back to boxing, the DG is correct. The DG is correct if he's saying that it is a historic thing that we inherited with the one CEO that was suspended. It took too long to get the settlement. But flowing from the boxing convention, we will come as the ministry to Parliament to inform the committees on what steps we are taking now as interim measures, what we are recommending to be done to now rectify the ill once and for all. Because we take taxpayers' money, we put them there, we can't keep on doing that. Somewhere, sponsorships and their initiative must pick them up and take them to a higher echelon. We must now focus on Sanab if we talk boxing. But we must put the King 3, good corporate governance and all that goes with that back into boxing South Africa. And Chair, I'm not now trying to smuggle something here, we will come back. But to my estimate of the boxing convention, we will need to come back with amendments to the Boxing Act. We will have to come with proposals on the amendments on the legislative part of the Boxing Act, and I trust, Honourable Members, that you will afford us just a little bit of that room to consolidate now after the two-day boxing convention, well-attended one, in Gauteng. We will come back and we will brief the select and the portfolio committee in Parliament to say on what we think should happen. Chair, if we move to facilities, I just want to touch briefly. DG did not say that we at present are doing a legacy audit. We have appointed the service provider and we convinced DG to sign for that so that we pay. Why do we do this, Chair? FIFA, on the one hand, is putting a facility in every African country as part of the African legacy. We in our country directed it to the province that is not hosting, that's the Northern Cape. It's as so. But over and above that, we have the KFW, as the DG alluded to, GTZ, and a whole host of other things that are happening. Coca-Cola is putting this, and that one is putting that, and this one. We need to understand through a legacy audit, which DG, end of August, we will have the completed report. What A has been done, what B are the others to be rolled out over a time, but with a time frame, but C, what I can say as a politician, to a committee, I'm talking to you as South Africans, where must these politicians now try and leverage more in the process for 5 years coming down the line in terms of legacy? What we do know, we have trained volunteers in the Confederations Cup on a database. We have now trained more people, not only from South Africa, from the continent, on a database. So as we move on, we know this is a database we can tap into them, honorable Plaatje, and skill them more, upskill them. But that's not the thing. There are a lot of legacies. That audit we will bring, obviously, back. It's incumbent upon us to do that. Honorable Chairperson, let us now move to the facilities. Now, DG is eloquent. He's very eloquent if he says the official correctly. We are not taking up the responsibility to talk to all the people in Treasury so that we have to screw the facility. No, as a politician, I'm straight to the line. If we say a school, honorable members, must have a blackboard, a chairs, a desk, a toilet facility for boys, one for girls, a library, you know, all these things, we must be vigilant about it. We must stop making excuses, say it must have a multi-purpose sporting facility and ground for the children to play. Why do I say that? Because we have ratified the UNESCO International Charter on Physical Education and Sport. It was adopted by the General Conference in 1978. We have ratified that in this parliament. We have done the United Nations Convention of Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women and the Disabled People. We have ratified as a government all those conventions, honorable members. We must now be vigilant and say, no. A school, if it has that, as important must be a sport and recreation facility. Secondly, we talk about all of us. None of us here, irrespective of where you come from, will ever oppose the notion of sustainable human settlements. Yet, we roll them out like little sardines next to one another, what with not one inch of land in the planning and design phase to put the recreational facility even afterwards. In fact, if we want to go and do that now, we will have to expropriate RDP houses in some places. I'm not trying to be now, you know, I don't want to get in the newspapers. I see that they're not here, the media, so I speak freely. But these are the realities, honorable members, and that does impact on transformation. The second thing, honorable members, you know, everybody is saying a building for sport and recreation program, the BSRP, was taken away from us. No, it was not taken away from us. Honorable members, we were lucky. In those days, there was a poverty and alleviation fund. The aim of that fund was to create jobs for unemployed people. And we were lucky to get our hands over a three-year period and totality of 100 million rand. And we have created and built just over 100 facilities. Now, honorable chair, you've alluded to facilities that are half complete. There are two or three that are stemming from this building for sport and recreation fund, poverty alleviation fund. Funds dried up. I'm very aware of one where there's a big board of the opening ceremony, but only the board is there. We are aware of that. We're following up on that, honorable chair, because we find it unacceptable. But however, honorable members, I'm not talking to people from provinces. We are the partners. Because if a sporting facility is not prioritized in the IDP of a local government, we cannot access municipal infrastructure grant money to roll that facility out. Me now, if I go to the area where they say it's my constituency and I walk, they say, hey, but man, we must need the facility here. The councillor, the ward councillor says, yes, and says, when are you coming from national to come and tell us here, local government, what we must and must not do and where we must put and not put the facility. So, honourable members, I'm asking you to become our partners in advocating vigorously in the provinces that the municipalities must not now shy away to say, no, you know, the sport and recreation fund is competing with clinics and libraries and so on, because that's the area we will compete. They must say, we need the facility. Because if we have a sporting facility, less people will be dependent on the clinic. If we have the facility, we will see transformation coming through quicker. But, Honourable Chair, lastly, we live in a world where it's said, global warming. I'm asking, and I've asked SASPOC, I've asked the federations, I will keep on asking this. I'm asking, what is it that we are doing as sport to contribute to that? Now, I have suggested this. We've seen a small pilot. It's working fantastic. But it's incumbent upon us to go around it out. Not the department, if I say us. I say us politicians to take hands. Irrespective of your political party. We need to put the recycling bins in the communities. We need to mobilize our communities to bring the plastic and the bottles and the glass and the things to recycle. We need to put a community fund so that we put the proceeds of what we recycle and sell whilst we clean up our areas to use and buy where we don't have the budget. Equipment for our children in that community so that they are the beneficiaries of that. And we can do this on the spot for the environment. We have that as a program, a policy we're developing, but I had thought I can't resist, Honourable Chair, whilst I have the province with me, and delegates from the provinces to say, please assist us in the communities, assist us in the municipalities to turn this thing around and to instill a little bit of vukuzenzela and let's do something for the future and for our generations to come. Now, Chair, I don't want to go to mass participation in depth. I just want to make two or three observations. One, the DG alluded to us trying to get a monitoring mechanism in provinces. But let's just go one step back. We are directed by the DORA grant, Division of Revenue Act, guided by the previous census as to what portion of that budget will go to which province. We must bear in mind there's a, you know, a constitution which tells you who has powers where. And there's such a thing as concurrent powers. Now, we go to MinMec. We speak to our MECs, we try them to support us. But you know, once they go bad, and that's my province where I come from, so I'm just making a joke, I'm saying it lightly. If Gauteng says, home of champions, you understand? We can say no mass participation, they say home of champions, we go for soccer X, we go for these things. It's correct. It's correct because we bring sports tourism in. We showcase the country. But the challenge is to get a seamless thing from school sport, mass participation, talent identification, right through. Now, honourable members, on that note, I don't want to open a debate here. If we do the tracking and the development of talent correctly, we will then also understand that the word national team, honourable chair, means that people that represent the country are nationals of the country and not come and import people with a big checkbook and you now want to play them in the national team and then you whip the emotions in the media and to allow this poor guy which we are now victimizing who can't play. No, we must be clear about that. We must be very clear about that. A national team is made up of nationals of a country. Lastly, Chair, no, second lastly, If we don't succeed, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, if we don't succeed in addressing the ills of imbalances historically inherited, we will for 15, for 50, for 150 years down the line still talk about transformation. But if we are vigilant and we go back and we say, no, we understand we don't have the money to roll out facilities in this entire community, but according to the order the DG referred to and the Building for Sport Facilities Plan, do what we say in the strategic plan, we will now lobby at least 100 facilities to be rolled out strategically through the country, through the municipalities. Why only 100,000? Because we only have so many people in that unit. And we do that on a shared basis in communities. We can come back a second round and put another facility. And we can come back another round and put another facility. As long as we create access at least to our people. I want to share a practical example. Mfundisi Stofile phones me from KwaZulu-Natal. He says to me, you know, I'm standing here in front of a facility. The owner of the facility is a municipality. It's locked with a big lock. If the community here wants to use a facility, they must send somebody how many kilometers to get the key to come back, unlock, lock the facility again, and go back. We can't have that, honorable members. There must be management in place for the facility. It should be there. I'm just reciting an example. We've rectified that now in certain areas. But I'm asking your support as well, because we have facilities that are underutilized, and we have in some places a dire need for facilities. Chairperson, the last thing is the vacant posts. No, you see, you get me on a talk and I can carry on, because we're passionate about what we do. We live with this every day. We travel the country, we see the needs of our people. And we see how we get people like Custer, Semenya, through our system and our support into a academy. So we are passionate about this. Lastly, we have now progressed to the stage with a white paper where shortly we will be able to consult now, DG. Consult with the stakeholders. Stakeholders meaning Parliament, select, portfolio committee. We've gone a long process by incorporating a lot of ideas, taking inputs into account. But that policy document, which is now being updated, will hopefully become a living document. Will hopefully become a guiding document, because the old one, we've outgrown that now. But Honourable de Villiers, simultaneously, we have taken the initiative to say, no, we can see where we're moving to with the white paper. Here and there, there will be amendments and inputs, but it will be to the positive side of things. Of that, I'm convinced. We have to start a process which we started early on to that, to say, the organogram of the Department of Sport and Recreation is not talking to the needs and the outcomes we want. So we have started, we have the people, they're developing now a process simultaneously with us. So hopefully, we have short-circuited the longer process. You know, normally we complete the white paper, then you would then apply for funds, and then 5 years later you would have the people in place. By that time, the white paper is half outdated again. We thought, no, let's be vigilant. Let's get the process going. Once we finalize the white paper, it will take us at the most 2 months to finalize with the DPSA our final print for the new organogram and structure for the department, and even the accommodation needs and whatever goes with that, so that we can really hit the ground running. Chair, thank you for allowing me, and you are missing a lot by stopping me, but anyhow, thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. No, next time I'm going to ask the Minister to speak as Honorable Deputy Minister, not as a politician, because once he starts speaking as a politician, now he takes all and maybe before I give to the members, I just want to maybe DJ, just to make you aware, you, when we requested the audit, you know, of the facilities, I must just question you that don't fall into the trap, because we are provinces. You know, we had a report, it was around the issue of the library, and the department was confident. You know, I was very specific for the area. And then the report that we get, you know, the department was very confident, and it even responded in writing that that library is complete, is functional, and all that. I went to the area. There's no library there. It's just the fencing, and I think with about close to 1,000 bricks there. So I think that report, that tech report, please make sure that you give us, because you are sure that what you get from your official is exactly what is existing on the ground. Deputy Minister, it's not for debate, but I'm appealing. I think we are politicians here, and we cannot allow a situation that the very same people who have elected us, who we are here representing, are the ones who are suffering. You know, this thing of the MIC grant, the MIC, really is a burning issue. When you go to the municipalities, sports facilities, sports is not prioritized. I think as politicians, like you rightly indicate, you know, let's think about the people who have elected us, because it's not nice. Every weekend when you go to your community, you attend the funeral of a young person. When you interact with them, there are no facilities. The only place where they can go and enjoy, and you know, it's just at the tavern. Really, it's a challenge to us as politicians. I just wanted that, you know, as politicians, you know, sometimes we must think of people that who have elected us, because these are the reality that we are experiencing on the ground. I think that issue of the MIC, which is both local government cooperative, which should be dealt with. Honorable Nube, Honorable Fiber. No, the minister took time. You take time, don't worry. Before that, Honorable Boroto was a hand up, and then Honorable Fiber.
Madam Chair, now I just needed to be in a meeting already 5 minutes ago, which I will be late for, I don't mind. I just wanted to ask a question, and Honorable Villiers could answer me later on the question if it was possible.
What about Honorable Villiers?
You could just reply to me at the later stage what the answer was.
I was thinking that you are going to say the committee will brief you, because the question that you raised is not for you, it's for the committee.
Yeah.
I'm going to allow you to raise the question, and then
Madam Chair, yes, I would just like to ask the department on the specific codes of sporting, if there was specific budgets, for instance, on soccer, cycling, athletics, etc., because I haven't seen anything on that, and if there is such budgets for each sports code, if we will be able to get that set out in a document that we can also scrutinize things like that. Because I know in specific sports, that sporting codes, that they get much less money than other sporting codes. I would just like to look at things like that, Madam Chair, if possible. If there are budgets like that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. The Deputy Minister has reminded me and saying, that when we're campaigning, say, working together, and people will say, when you campaign, you say, working together,
after you get into government, then you say Vukuzenzele.
Chairperson, I think I would agree with the outcome of boxing convention, because where we're coming from, for instance, my home is in Soweto, Jablan, and there's a hostel there. My father used to go to the hostel and then do training boxing. And he would go with my cousin, May, go there when he was still young, and both train for boxing. But now, that thing is no longer there. I'm not sure even whether those facilities are still in existence or not. But you will have that, no, that people will have that oomph of saying we interact with hostel, because there is, in the location you couldn't have facilities, but there were facilities inside the hostels. And then we then have the well-to-do facilities in the elite places, which I think maybe the platform is at NCOP, the world question of the role of the municipalities. Because those facilities that are in the halves, still the access is still a problem. For instance, in January, when we're doing visits to schools, there's a school at Naturena. It's well built, everything is inside. We have an entrance there, and then when you go inside, I don't know how it's built, it's a multi-purpose school. So the community was asking us as public rest to ask the school so that they have an access to the playgrounds, whatever, all those things. And the principal was saying, the problem is that you have one person that is managing many, the security, that is manning the institution. And if the community wants access, the school won't have a person, because on Saturday that person is at home. So there's supposed to be a, because when you open there, it means the classes and all those things before you get to the sports grounds or whatever it is. So, that's how we envisage, as you say, if you build a school, all these facilities must be there. I think as you talk about the school policy, that has to be there. But then it then needs, at political level, that interaction in terms of human settlement, sports, and basic education ministry. So it should not then be a whole, or even the corporate, the local government. The other one, also as we talk about access, we have a gym here in Parliament. But I don't know how many gyms, how many of us are utilizing it. And we have the parks. In the parks we have halls that are underutilized. I mean, I arrived here in May last year because of vandalization, of robbery, burglary in the laboratory. We got into that hall. Very people can have aerobics there, but we can't. So also, it must also start here in terms of, I know even in other parks, there are amenities, but we can't utilize those amenities. I think also on the auditing of the legacy, I've read, I'm not sure what is contained in the commitments that we've done, municipalities, province and government, but I read tweets there called last week, the whole question of after the 11th of July, who owns the facilities, the stadiums. Coming from Gauteng, there are many stadiums that are hosting training and hosting. Orlando Stadium is one of it. Within Orlando, it's many locations. we would move from Mbeni, it's just at the far end of Soweto, and get to Orlando Stadium for athletics tracks. I'm not sure what is contained there in terms of access by the community to use these facilities that are very beautiful now, so that they don't become white elephants, and they're getting in there being expensive, and the community couldn't raise the fund of getting in that facility. And the other one is on the academies. There is Eslin Park for soccer in Gauteng. But the problem is, how do we refer young talent who can go there and be nurtured in that academy? Because at the end, you have to have some relationship of whoever, SAFA, whatever, at the top level, to recommend a certain boy who has the talent to get there. So it becomes a problem in terms of whether the criteria or the marketing of the institution to say, whoever has this this kind of talent must go there. There is also one school in Atteridgeville. So the question of the school policy. There's one school in Atteridgeville, I got to know that 2 years back, that it is a school that is also nurturing the talent. It's built just to promote soccer, and there's an exchange, and then the curriculum there, it's built into that, that the boys that are there, they can be able to benefit both theory and practice. But residents around Atteridgeville did not know. I did not know. I was in charge of the whole province, but I did not know about that until I had a workshop in that school. Then I could know about that. So the whole question of marketing the facilities that we're having, so the community to understand it.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I don't want to be long. Chairperson, very soon, I think in the coming weeks, we will be debating the budget vote number 19. Which is Sports and Recreation South Africa. And I realize that in this document, they're talking about key issues for consideration by Parliament. There's a document there that you've been given on Budget Vote 19. And believing that as we will be debating the budget vote, we will also be reflecting back on the successes and obviously the challenges. And it is said here, the first thing under that topic is South Africa is plagued by disparities in the access to sport, particularly in poorer communities.
Now, before that, let me just clarify something. The document that you are referring, speaking to is not from the department, it's from the research unit.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, it's not a problem, but thank you for that. The other thing that I realize here is that we still have that problem. And as for myself, coming from these communities that I talked about, the poorer communities, the challenges, some of the challenges that we have there is that we should ensure that access, there is access to these marginalized communities, poorer communities, in terms of sport. Now, my question would be, if we still have these challenges, is it possible for the department, maybe, to give us operational plans? Because I'm happy that the Deputy Minister has talked about the organogram not speaking to us. And maybe there is a need for us to amend certain clauses in the acts, or maybe there should be a bill that will speak.
That is what people might say as they see that there are some disparities that are happening. Now, if we have operational plans, and we have maybe, just as they have been talking about the transformation charter, and the real allocation of post vacancies, as it was said, that would be, we will be able, through those documents where they have given, they have the models or the strategies of each particular section in the department, so that when we do our oversight, we are able to look at the operational plan and measure them against what has been implemented thus far. So usually we get the overall picture of what is happening with the strat plan, but the specifics that you have got to follow up, we don't usually get. So that is my plea to the department to make sure that we also, when they give out money, for instance, to provinces, because we are aware that in provinces you find that the resources are not enough, we must check as to whether how much were they given, what was their plan, why was the why were the resources not enough for them to be able to execute the plan as it was. And again, the last thing I can talk about is that we have been talking about instructors. We have been talking about the people that are trained to assist in the poor communities. How far is the department in terms of assisting us to say this is our plan? In this country, we are running short of instructors in rural areas. Now, this is the plan that you are going to use so that all the rural areas, all the women, all the disabled people that are there are able to access these facilities. Do they have plans? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Chairman. It's just two quick questions. My question is in relation with the concern you raised about the lottery, that the lottery, their role in distribution of funds to sports, they don't consult you. I just want to check if, as the department, do you have any, you know, memorandum of understanding with the lottery, and if they continue not to consult you and by dispersing funds not in accordance with the government plan, what is it that you can do to stop them not doing that? That is my question. No, my question number two is in relation with the regulations, the about four regulations that has to be passed this year. I just want to check the time frame in between now, the time frame of passing of these regulations, because if they don't be passed, what is the impact on sports if they are not passed? Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Transformation DG, before you respond, I just want to add, you know, to that question of Honorable Bogota around the issue of the instructors, you know, access to rural communities. I just want to check maybe from the department, because we do have hubs, that really these hubs make impact, you know. Can one get, you know, are you satisfied that they're really making impact? And also around the issue of life, which is getting a big budget. Does department really feel that life is making impact?
Honorable Chair, thank you. Let me respond to some of the things that each will respond to, those that I leave for him. Let's start with Love Life. Honorable Chair, Love Life is the result of an international agreement that was signed with the Kaiser Foundation, and there's a formula for every rand South African government puts up for the programs. They put up, I think, 5 rand. National Treasury has decided at the time that this agreement was reached that monies will be channeled through various departments because they saw the benefit of using sport, for instance, in our case, using sport as a medium to, with Love Life, to leverage on sporting environment to create awareness on this pandemic of HIV and AIDS. The net result, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, is that we don't even ask for money for Love Life. Flowing from the international agreement, we just hear from Treasury, no, the money that we give to sport now, to give to Love Life against, obviously, a performance agreement, will be this amount. Unlike we go to Treasury, the DG, and then the Minister, and maybe go to what they call Min Combat Ministers Committee on the Budget, we argue for money. In Love Life's case, we don't even ask. They just tell us, Kio, 27 million rand, hey, Zaman, how did you live? You see, so this is an unfortunate situation, but that's an inheritance that we've inherited. But the only thing we do with Love Life is to ensure that we contain and we make sure that the money is spent on certain programs. DG is taking another angle now. The outcome of that we will see. I'm positive that the accounting officer took the right route now on that one. To get more value for our money. I'm not saying we didn't get money value for our money, I'm saying more value for our money. Honorable Chair, the lottery. What that is, and that is the National Lottery, I know. National Lottery is one of the things, like the MIG, which we as politicians are dealing with now. Because the National Lottery resides with the Department of Trade and Industry. But the history of the lottery is that sport, in 1990, the NSC, and we amalgamated, and when we normalized so far as we could sport in 1990, said, we will never have enough money to eradicate the backlogs in facilities to address the needs for sport. Hence, we want a national lottery. Now, we, you know, as it progressed, we had some other people also benefiting from the lottery. The distribution arm for sport and recreation resides with the Department of Trade and Industry. It does not reside with sport. We are now in the third year of negotiating the transfer of that arm to the Department of Sport and Recreation so that we can sit down with the lottery people and say, these are the strategic plans, these are the business plans, we would like you to focus there and there and there. But as I said, they have a mandate in terms of the DTI, and they fulfill that. The only thing that we've succeeded in doing now, Honorable Chair, to answer your question, was to smuggle the Director General of the Department as a board member now of the Lottery Distribution Agency, so that when he's there, he can at least put the brakes and say, no, Honorable Board members, this way and that way. That is the only thing for the intern that we could have done. We've done that. But we cannot even call them and summons them and say, come see us. We want to talk to you like we used to do with Boxing South Africa or with SAIDS or any other federation, because they were the Department of Trade and Industry. But we're working to have the law amended. I think it's Section 25. I speak under correction. 15 or 25 must be amended, and then they will be with us. The social development will have their distribution agency, and arts and culture will have their distribution agency, because our argument is, and support from this quarter will help. We don't want to run a gambling house, we don't want to run a lottery, that's a DTI function. But the proceeds must come to us in an independent distribution arm which can assist us. Honorable Chair, the municipal infrastructure grant is not only a resolution of the Polokwane Conference of the Majority and Ruling Party. We are far advanced with that, and hopefully, we will in the not too distant future be able to report and to say, yes, we have now succeeded in getting a percentage of that money allocated to us. Let me just remind the honorable members, on Hansard, we have a minister from local government who has said, on a question, yes, the monies are ring-fenced for sport and recreation. When we unpacked that later on, he argued that it is correct, but that we are competing with all the other categories. So it's not specifically allocated. And we're working on that now, Honorable Chair, and I think the politicians are very close to reaching an amicable solution to have the flow of funds go as far as that's concerned. DG, before you answer very briefly, can I just ask on multi-purpose centres and incomplete facilities? Honourable members, I will ask the department to have a list of that for us drawn up, but if you are aware of any half-completed or semi-completed or whatever of those, please, it's an open invitation, please just let us have the information so that we can factor that in and address that as soon as possible. Lastly, on the facilities, who owns the facilities? DG, you can speak to the sector I'm not going to talk to now. Safe to say, honorable members, when we decided this government to put the bid for 2010, the requirement were 8 facilities, 8 stadiums. We had convinced FIFA that we wanted to build 10 as a government. We wanted to offer 10. Partly because we wanted that to be in itself a legacy, but we wanted to address the disparities in geographical spread in the country. And they eventually agreed that we could go that route. We had to go the route of honorable centers of those 10 facilities of addressing within the budget limitations that we had at the time and still have ownership for our people. 5 of the stadiums, 5 of the new stadiums are owned by the people, and the owners are the municipalities. I'm talking, you know, the one here in Cape Town, Nelson Mandela Bay, the one in KwaZulu-Natal, Soccer City, and which is the 5th one? I think Mbombela. And Peter Mukawa also. The only 4, because of ownership previously and responsibility, but obviously access and so on, is Bloemfontein, Mangaung, Tshwane Loftus, Ellis Park, Johannesburg, and Rustenburg. But even there, with the agreements in place, you can as well say, because in those facilities, the soccer teams and rugby teams and so on are playing and competing, equal access already in terms of those events. But honorable members, those stadiums are for competitions, so to say. It's not for Vashimanyana to come and play their football on the surfaces. No, that we must understand and never fall in that trap, because those were centers of excellence created for our people. In terms of the practice venues, there's also an arrangement like this one, but DT can give you the full details of that, where some of them, but it's in the community spread. For instance, in Super Stadium in Athensville, I know, is a project owned by the municipality for the community. We've rolled it out there in terms of that. So we have made sure, we've ensured that from government spend side, from OCT spend side, and from whatever, that we leave a legacy for our people that will afford them, that will afford them access.
Okay.
Chair, thank you. I think the DG will speak very briefly to all the other questions raised.
DG, may I humbly request you to give, you know, maybe short answers, because we are under pressure of time. By 2 o'clock we must be, you know, in plenary, and we must also attend to other matters before plenary. We are very much under pressure of time.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. No, indeed, I think the Deputy Minister has covered us quite extensively. Most of the other questions kind of relate to requests for information. I think requests that if we have a list of allocations to federations and the amounts, if committee members could have that, and I think we've taken note of that. I think I'm particularly excited about Honourable Mube's offer to start the sport clubs here at Parliament and the parliamentary villages. We will have to make sure that she's given the assistance so that she can really do so, taking into account good governance practices in sports. So for once we will also have Parliament accounting to us. Chair, yes, I think that the rest of the questions really relate to requests for information. And we can follow up on that. Also, the issue on, you've asked about the hubs and how successful that is. Perhaps we need to come back to you on that issue as well, in terms of specific information on the hubs and where they are located. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. I think, you know, DG, we are always, I think this is the experience that I got since I came to the SCOP, that in most of the time, you know, our time is very limited, and even if when we want to interact with issues, it becomes very, very difficult. But I know that I've got very committed members that sometimes if it comes to a push, if it means we should meet also after the plenary, we are going to do that, so that members must feel that they've interacted, they're clear, the department has given the necessary information. But on that note, I'm just going to just on that note, I was just thanking the department, and now I'm going to request members just to stay behind for 2 minutes, and we just release the department, and thank you, Honourable Deputy Minister. Next time I'm going to give you a platform as a politician, and I'm going to request the chairperson of the NCOP to give us more time. On that note, I thank you.
Thank you,
Not sure. The department is leaving. Good thoughts. adjourned. Thank you very much for your help. I really appreciate it.
No, just to say yes and then we yeah. Honorable members, thank you.
Thank you.
Report of the Select Committee on Education and Recreation on Budget Work 19 and Strategic Plan 2010-2014 of Department of Sports and Recreation. The Select Committee on Education and Recreation, having considered Budget Work 19, Department of Sports and Recreation, reports that it has concluded its deliberations thereon. The committee recommends that the budget vote be passed. Are we agreeing? Thank you. This is only what I needed. I will put on my signature. Thank you.
Oh, that's it. Okay, thanks.